Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chapter 7, the meeting of Gadadhara Pandit with Pundarika Vidyanidhi. And we didn't have class yesterday, but this is a continuing story. And what has happened is that Mukunda wanted Gadadhara to meet this great devotee, Pundarika Vidyanidhi. So he glorified Pundarika, and Gadadhara was very excited to meet him. And then when they finally met, when Mukunda took him to Pundarika Vidyanidhi's house, and Gadadhara saw Pundarika, then he saw a most strange personality, because he was dressed so opulently, and amalaki oil in his hair, and silk shirt, and diamond studded, like studs instead of buttons, these kind of studs that they use. And he was chewing pan, and he had sitting on a brass bed, and brushing his hair, and looked like he was really absorbed in the bodily concept of life, like a Vishayi. So Mukunda, who understood the actual spiritual exaltation of Pundarika Vidyanidhi, he understood what a great and exalted devotee he actually was. He also understood how the mind of Gadadhara had somewhat changed, and Gadadhara was thinking in his mind, wait a minute, this is a devotee? This is a Hare Krishna devotee. No shaved head, no sika, no. Because you can't judge a book by its cover. Someone may be a very great devotee of the Lord, but externally look like a businessman or industrious or a doctor or anything. Maybe no tilak, maybe no kanti mala. It's not permitted at his job or whatever. So if one judges on externals, often he makes mistakes. So story illustrates that Gadadhara Pandit, to teach us, had apparently become bewildered by the externals, by the cover, not understanding the inside of the person. Detecting this change of mentality, which is basically an offensive mentality, or what we call Vaishnava Aparad, in Gadadhara, then Mukunda recited some verses in Bengali, then also one verse from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. In the story of Putana Moksha, liberation of Putana, the Kechari, Rakshasi witch. So when Pundarika heard that verse describing the wonderful mercy and compassion of Krishna, that he liberated a witch, a Pishachi, came to kill Krishna when he was 6 days old, and he liberated her and promoted her and gave her a siddhadeha as a datri, as a nurse, his nursemaid in the spiritual world. When Pundarika heard that, it immediately stimulated his heart to such an extent, it acted as a very powerful and forceful udipan. And Pundarika, he ripped off his shirt, kicked his spittoon, kicked his bed, his hair went flailing, and he was rolling on the ground. And an expression of what's called sattvic vikara, ashta sattvic bhavas. He was displaying all bodily symptoms of an extreme devotional ecstasy and love of God. Prema, Bhagavan Prema, Krishna Prema. Then when Gadadhara saw this, he thought, oh, I really made a mistake here. I didn't know who I was dealing with. I didn't understand the depth of this person's devotion. I didn't understand what a great devotee Pundarika Vidyanidhi actually is. So at this juncture in time, continuing the story, Gadadhara is feeling very much grateful towards Mukunda, his friend, who has introduced him to this great devotee. So this is where we pick up. And incidentally, as far as when we study Shastra, or hear Shastra, we try to, especially when we read, it's more conducive to such absorption. It's difficult to absorb when hearing. But in reading, we should try to become very much absorbed in the subject matter. Where is it? And who is speaking? Who are the actors? Who is a nayak? Who is a nayaka? What is the time period? What is the setting? What are the emotions being exchanged? What are the teachings being conveyed? In different levels, we should try to become absorbed in the subject matter, in the story. Just like if we were to see a movie. Now people watch so many movies. Previously, people watched dramas. When we see a movie, we become, sometimes, if we're very interested in the actors or in the subject, we become very absorbed. We're watching, and so much music and big color, we can't help but become absorbed in the spectacular display in a movie theater. And then we identify with the whole storyline and the plot. It's a love story or it's whatever it is. And then we cry, or we feel happy when the hero wins, or we feel sad when he loses, or different emotions rise and fall within our heart because of our absorption. But if you're watching a movie and with your wife or something and you're tired, and it's air conditioned, a comfortable seat, you worked all day, you're tired, and your wife said, "Did you see that?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, well, what happened?" "Because you fell asleep." "No, the hero just smacked, you know, he just slapped his wife." "Oh," and she... So the same thing when we read Shastra, we space out or we become distracted, inattentive. But now we're there, we're in Pundarik Vidyanidhi's house, we've come there with Mukunda, and we've come with Gadadhara Pandit, and these verses were spoken from Bhagavatam. Now Gadadhara is lying on the ground in a trance. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is lying on the ground in a trance. His silk shirt's ripped open, his diamond studs are scattered here and there. Drops of pan are dripping out of his mouth, and some red dots here of sopari. His hair is all scattered and disheveled. Looks like, you see these posters sometimes, some gurus, they make posters like that in Vrindavan. They say so-and-so in Mahabhav, without mentioning any names. So, but this is really someone who is really deeply absorbed in Krishna Prema. So, this will go on. Mukunda Amaratumi Kaile Bhandukarya Dekhaile Bhakta Vidyanidhi Bhakta Charja. This is Gadadhara Pandit is speaking very appreciatively to Mukunda. "Oh Mukunda, you have acted as my real friend, for you have shown me what a great devotee Vidyanidhi actually is, Pundarik Vidyanidhi." Sometimes he was called Premnidhi. He's called Premnidhi or Vidyanidhi, or here it's saying Vidyanidhi Bhattacharya, because he was a great Brahmin pandit. "He Mata Vaishnav Kiva Achetri Bhuvane Chiloka Pavitra Haya Bhakti Darashane." Gadadhara continues, "Is there another Vaishnava like him in the three worlds? In fact, the three worlds become purified by seeing his devotional service. Chilok Pavitra, Chilok Pavitra, Bhur Bhavaswa, the three lokas, the upper planetary systems, they become purified by Bhakti Darshan, by seeing his devotion." I mean, that's actually a fact. That you see, you hear, or you read innumerable accounts of Srila Prabhupada's biography, his life story, his life and teachings, of people that simply see Prabhupada and they become transformed. It's called Prabhav, Sadhu Prabhav, Bhakti Prabhav. The light, the effulgence, the jyoti, the shanti, the sobriety, the dhira, the soberness of his face, the extraordinary characteristics of his visage, the shape of his nose, long earlobes, a very aristocratic face, very moving face that Prabhupada had. So people would remark, as we worked for 2 years on Lilamrita, interviewing people that had met Prabhupada and seen Prabhupada, not initiated devotees, but outside people, policemen, politicians. I remember I came to Bombay in July of 1981. I was working on volume 5 and 6 of Lilamrita. And I was here and I went to Vrindavan and also England. I interviewed one politician, Sarat Jiva Lal, something like this. Sarat Jiva Lal. He was, I don't know, some type of politician here in Bombay, MLA or MP or something. And he had some association with Prabhupada. And many people, they remark, "Oh, as soon as I saw Swamiji, I understood this person's from another world." So this is Bhakti Darshan. That simply by seeing Pundarik Vidyanidhi's Prabhav, his influence, people understand, "Oh, I'm getting purified." Triloka Pavitra. People become purified. Purified means that, what does it mean, purity? What is purity? What is purified? Purity means that our face turns towards God. This is a result of spiritual activities, sukriti, spiritual sukriti. When one associates with sadhus or goes to holy places, holy dham, char dham, etc., Then these are called spiritual Sukriti. Technically it's called Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. Bhakti Unmukhi. That the face becomes turned towards devotion, turns towards God. So this is the effect. Even seeing a devotee is actually Sukriti. And then it can turn your face. So purity means that we look towards the Lord. This is the meaning of purity. And impurity means to look away from the Lord. In a very simple definition. Like someone says, oh, if you do this, you'll become purified. If you take Radhakund Snan, if you do Govinda, well, say Giraj Prikama, or Mandir Prikama, you fast on Ekadasi, you hear the Bhagavad Gita, Pravachan, you go to a Bhagavad Saptaha from some proper Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava, then you'll become purified. So then someone might say, what do you mean? What does it mean to be purified? And so, I don't know, that's what everybody says. Everyone says you get purified. It's a term among spiritual people. These are pavitra, purifying activities. Well, this is what it means, is that our face turns towards Bhagavan and what awakens when there's purity comes, a desire to serve God awakens in our heart. And impurity means to look towards the material energy and desire to enjoy. Desiring to enjoy the material energy, this is impurity. And looking towards the material energy, this is impurity. So this impurity is counteracted by purity. That's why you have punya karma and papa karma, pap karma, which gives punya fall and papa fall. Good deeds, good result, bad deeds, bad result. So he was tri loka pavitra bhakti dharashan. By seeing his devotion, all the worlds are getting purified. It's a quite powerful individual. Now Gadadhar goes on. Ajiyami edainu paramasanskate sehoje karana tumi aichilanikate. I was unable to avoid a great I was able to avoid a great danger because you were with me. Because Mukunda gave Gadadhar Pandit the opportunity to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi's devotional mood, he thus destroyed the danger from the Vaishnava Parad of seeing a great Vaishnava as an ordinary human. So this was the mercy of Mukunda Das, that he detected some change in the mentality of his friend Gadadhar, that he was going into the negative. He was going into the, you can say, Bermuda Triangle, the point of no return. He was entering into dangerous waters of Vaishnava, about to make Vaishnava Aparad. His mentality was changed. First your mind changes, then your heart changes, and then your actions change. Your mind changes towards someone, then your feelings change towards someone, then your actions change. The first is the mind. So his mentality had become somewhat altered. Oh, I thought he was a great devotee. You told me he's a great devotee, so I had vishwas, I had faith in that, and I was moving on that faith, and I've come to his house. But now I'm seeing him, now I'm in my mind, my mentality is changing. No, I don't think so, great devotee. And before it could come an aparad where he would say something, hey, this person's a vishayi. He's a gross vishayi. He's only a materialistic person. Why have you brought me here? It didn't get that far. It's called nipping in the bud. I give a bud and prune a tree and take the buds off. So that nipping or that, let's say, stopping the progression to the aparad stage was done by Mukunda's very clever employment of reciting a verse from Bhagavatam. He read the mind. As soon as he read the mind, then he changed. Just like oftentimes if there's a Bhagavatam class, the advanced devotees in the room, they may ask a question. Not that they need the answer, but they'll ask a question because they can detect some mentality in the audience. Oh, people are thinking like this, but no one's asking. Then they ask a question to benefit the people, the other devotees. So he's to benefit his friend Mukunda to benefit his friend Gadadhar has prevented him from making an aparad. So recalling that mercy, then Mukunda is saying, thank you, you saved me from a great danger, from a great calamity. Because committing aparad is very, very dangerous. Gadadhara Pandit spoke this statement out of gratitude for Mukunda's speaking of the Bhagavatam. Vishayira parichara dekhiya uhan Vishayi Vaishnava mora chitte haila gyan Vujiya mora chitta tumi mahashai Prakashila pundarika bhaktira udhai. Gadadhar continues to reveal his mind to his friend Mukunda. Right? Guyakti, what is it? Guyakti prachiti, what is it? Tadati pratigriyati? Guyam akyati. Guyam akyati. Akyati means speech, and guya means secret, confidential. So he's revealing his mind. And he says, on seeing the materialistic appearance of Pundarik Vidyaniti, I considered him a Vishayi Vaishnava. Very interesting term. Vishayi Vaishnava. Vaishnava, devotee of Vishnu, Ram, Krishna, etc. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead in various forms. But what kind of Vaishnava? Vishayi. Vishayi means someone who's tasting the poison. Literally. Vishayi. Like we say, Sheshashayi. Vishayi. Vishayi means one who's tasting the vish, which means a sense gratifier. One is enjoying his body, because if you take happiness, if you draw happiness from this material world, then you have to pay in pain. Whatever happiness you, when you, in other words, if you draw money from the bank and take a loan, then you have to pay with interest. You take 100 rupees, you have to pay back 110. So when you draw material pleasure from this material world, 100 rupees, you have to pay back 110. You can't just draw pleasure. It's not available here. This is a dvandva. Dvandva loka. This is duality. A world of duality. If you draw pleasure, then you must pay the price. Confirmed. Dong, dong. You must pay the price of pain. Suk and duk. You know these terms better than I. Suk. We don't hear suk, 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 suk. Sometimes we hear swarga suk. And there's fantastic enjoyment on higher planets. We read about it. Swargiya. It's called Swargiya Sukha. Swargiya Sukha. When you go to Swarga, or to the higher planets, then so much happiness, but also distress. Demons come and kick you out. Indra's enjoying like anything. Ramboro, Tilotama, Uravasi, dancing girls. So much enjoyment. Then some demon comes, knocks on the door. Donk, donk, donk. Hello, are you Indra? Yeah. Boom! He knocks him out. He knocks him out of there. And he gets defeated. And yet, sometimes he gets so... Indra becomes so scared. He's the Lord of Heaven, the King of Heaven. He's 10 million times bigger than the Prime Minister of India. He becomes so scared that he reduces his size to quarter of an inch big. He reduces his body and he enters inside a Padma, a lotus stem. Lotus, you say Kamal? Kamal or Padma? The stem. You know, the green thing out in the water, then the green thing and the flower. That's called the stem. He enters and hides in there. And the demons are looking, where is he? He was just here. And they're looking around to kill him. And he's hiding inside. Ooh, mommy, mommy. So this is Indra. How much dukkha he's facing? He has to pay. He's drawing happiness. He has to pay. So this is Vishayi. A sense enjoyer. So you can be a Vishayi Vaishnava. You understood my mind, my dear friend Mukunda, and thus you revealed to me the intense devotional mood of Pundarik. Prakashila Pundarika Bhakti Udai. You, Prakash, you made it manifest. You showed me the Bhakti Udai rising in the heart of this great devotee. Jatakani Ami Kari Jachi Aparad Tatakani Karaiba Chitere Prasad. I have committed an offense, so please have Pundarik bestow mercy on me so that my offense will be nullified. E Pate Pravishta Jata Sava Bhaktagan Upadeshta Avashya Karina Ekajan. All the devotees who are on the path of devotional service must have a spiritual master. He's saying bhakta, sub bhaktagan, all the group of devotees. E pat pravishta, to enter this path, upadesh, they must have instruction. Upadesh avasya karina ekajan. They must have someone to give them upadesh, instructions. Epatetiyami upadeshtan nahikari ihane istane mantra upadeshadhari ihane avagya jata kari jache mane shishya haile sabadosha shamibe apane. Gadadhara Pandit continues, so far I do not have an instructor. So Gadadhara Pandit is mentioning here to his friend Mukunda, so far I do not have an instructor. My desire is to take mantra initiation from Pundarik Vidyaniti. If I become his disciple, then he will forgive all the offenses that I have committed by disregarding him, avagya. That's one of our offenses, and 10 offenses to the holy name. There's something called Guru Avagya. To disregard the spiritual master, to minimize the spiritual master, to relegate the spiritual master to the mundane plane, to think that he's an agent of the material world or he's somewhat involved in the material world. This is considered all within that category. What to speak of disregard? Not following his shiksha or his agya, guru agya, his instruction. All these are various shades of guru avagya, which means an aparad, guru aparad. Which means, aparad means against satisfaction. The word rad, R-A-D-H, rad means satisfaction. We're not saying radha, that's radha. So, rad means satisfaction, and ap means against. So when we displease, we have the phrase, love me, love my dog. So if you be nasty to someone's dog, then the master will be unhappy also. If you kick his dog, actually, he'll be unhappy. So the guru is the representative, he's a representative teacher, representing the interest of the Lord, representing the heart of the Lord, representing the compassion of the Lord, Kripa Shakti Murti. So if he is not respected or regarded properly, then Bhagavan takes that offense on his side. So he becomes dissatisfied. He becomes unhappy. So aparad means that which gives dissatisfaction to whom? To the boss. The boss is the Mahamantra. Mahamantra is Krishna and Radha. So you can't kick the dog and love the master. So if you disregard the guru, how can you love the master? So the master is the Mahamantra. Radha and Krishna are there. Nam Rupa Avatara. We first meet Radha and Krishna in the mantra form. They come in this mantra. Then if we're pleasing to them, our behavior, our actions, our heart, our mind, then they reveal, yes, not only am I a mantra, but I'm a person. The person behind the mantra. Nam, Rup, Gun, Lila. So these are the gradual increasing realizations one gets by proper approach to the mantra and proper dealing with all the associates of the mantra, which means all the proper approach to Radha and Krishna and the proper dealing with all the associates of Radha and Krishna. So sadachar is so important. Sadachar means behavior. So Gadadhara Pandit, he's detected some anomaly or fault in his own behavior. So he's trying to rectify that. I've made some offense to him and I don't have a guru. And I've seen with these same eyes which I saw and thought that he was a vishayi, with these same eyes now I've seen this display of true and genuine spiritual symptoms of ecstasy. Now these same eyes have given me a different idea. Because eyes are very deluding. We see, one day we see something, oh, this is very bad. And then the next day we hear, or we see, oh, actually, it's not so bad. It's actually very good. So eyes are very changeable. So now he's saying, oh, I made a mistake, and this is such a great exalted devotee, and I don't have a guru. I need upadesh, I need instructions, and I need mantra. Because these two things are required to attain spiritual perfection. Instructions and mantra. Mantra, and then of course we hear instructions, which means knowledge. And then of course there's abhyas, or practice. So all these together, these are part of sadhana, yoga sadhana. So after contemplating, this is the next verse, Eta bhavi garadhar mukandara stane diksha karibhara kata kahilena tane. After contemplating in this way, Gadadhara expressed to Mukunda his desire to take initiation. So now it's very interesting because we have many of us maybe are not initiated, or we are initiated. There's also instructions for us if we are initiated to be careful and cautious in our dealings. We don't know who we're dealing with. I often, in one of my books, I wrote a phrase. I said, "Every saint had a past, and every sinner has a future." Yeah. So every saint had a past. You look at Valmiki. Valmiki, of course, is one of the great saints of India, a great rishi. He compiled the Sanskrit Ramayana, Valmiki's Ramayana. But before he was the sage, he was a robber. He was a dacoit. Anyway, up there we say dacoit. In UP we say dacoit, gunda, badmash. Badmash. Badmash from goli, tong. So he was robbing people, and he was quite not much of a saintly person. But by Guru Kripa, and by his Sharanagati and surrender, and by the good fortune, he became so exalted and so pure in his mind and heart that he was able to have Lila Prakash, Lila Pravesh, Ram Lila Pravesh. He entered into Ram Lila, which is Nitya. In some universe, Ram Lila is going on right now. So he entered that Lila, and he had, it's called Spurti, Lila Spurti. He had a Sakshat Darshan of that Lila in his meditation, and he wrote Ramayana, as it is. So every sinner has a future. Or rather, every saint has a past. So every sinner has a future. Jagai and Madai were great sinners. Although they were born Brahmins, they became very corrupted and degraded. Drinking and drug trafficking and all types of meat eating, everything, all bad, sinful, anti-religious activities. By the mercy of Nityananda, they became great devotees. Every sinner has a future. Every saint had a past. So taking this phrase into our common dealings, we join the temple. I remember I joined one devotee we joined with, and he was Bhakta Henry. And Bhakta Henry became one of the great spiritual masters of ISKCON. So when we joined, it was just so, he would take my socks and I would take his socks, and in the ashram, we were living in the ashram, we'd have our fights, and I could never think that this person I joined with, and 20 years later he'd be a Jagat Guru and thousands of disciples traveling all around the world and big Pravachan and Pandal programs. It was just a bhakta, and we were fighting over the sweet rice and stealing each other's stash of laddus and any stash for you laddus. Hey, oh, look at this. Hey, you stole my laddus. I put two laddus over here and you took them. Oh. Okay. So we don't know who we're dealing with. Because the thing is, we can't see the past of anyone. We don't know who we're looking at. We say, oh, you're a Videshi. You're a Videshi. And when they do Prikma Govardhan, I walk by some Indian people, Punjabis from Delhi, and then the little kid says, Mommy, look, Videshi Parikrama. And so I'm supposed to turn around and say, oh, Hindu Parikrama, Bharatiya Parikrama. And Mommy, look, Bharatiya Parikrama. What is Bharatiya? I'm crazy Parikrama. The kid just points, he's 5 years old, there's no innocent, spontaneous. And she says, no, he's a sadhu. So this is the thing. We don't know what we're looking at. It's, you know, this person, he's coming and telling me Bhagavad Gita. But this person is sitting here, maybe lived in India in last life. Can you see? Bhrigu can see. Bhrigu Rishi can see. He's Trikalagya. Trikalagya. He can see through three phases of time. Past, present, and future. Bhrigu Rishi, he's the son of Brahma. He's a Manasaputra of Brahma. Manasaputra, born from the mind of Brahma, the Adikavi, the original living entity, Lord Brahma. So he had seven mental sons, and one was Bhrigu Rishi. And so he's written this Shastra, Bhrigu Samhita, and in there it tells the lives of not all jivas, different jivas, what they were in a past life or two lifetimes ago, what they are now in the future. And all of you are sitting here thinking, oh, I'm very much Indian. I'm Punjabi, I'm Gujarati, I'm Maharashtrian, this, that, the other thing. All kinds of upadis. Or I'm Sindhi, Bindi, Hindi, whatever. These are all designations. And you're very confident that this is me and this is me forever, eternally. At the same time, you wear a t-shirt that says, I love San Francisco. I love USA. And I joke with my Indian friends. I said, I've been all over India. I've been coming here for 30 years, since 77. I've been to Badrinath, Cape Coman, Dwarka, everywhere, in every place. And so many yatras. And there's 1 billion people here, and I probably saw about 800 million of them, because they all stare at me. When a Western person goes somewhere, everyone looks, ooh. So, and I never saw anyone wearing a t-shirt, I love India. And I went all over America. There's 400 million people or 300 million people. I never saw anyone in America's. But so many Indians I see wearing t-shirts. I love San Francisco. I love Los Angeles. I love Hollywood. I love USA. So this kind of mentality creates a sanskara, an icha, desire. And it becomes a very strong sanskara. Then the next body is that. You're born, you're here, very much Indian. And next life you'll be very much American. Ekdum American. Yankee Doodle. Yankee Doodle Dandy. So anyway, this is the point that he's teaching, so many of us are not initiated, so he's met a very extraordinary personality, a very, not exactly the best approach to a guru. You meet your future guru by starting with offending them. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he's not here now, but he was going to school in Berkeley, and a Sankirtan party used to come by, and he would pick up stones and throw stones at them. These people were crazy. We pick up stones from the street, throw it at the devotees chanting Hare Krishna on the Mridanga and Kartal. And later he joined ISKCON, took initiation from Prabhupada, and became one of his most intimate followers. Now he left this world. Tamal Krishna Goswami. So who can understand? So Gadadhar, his initial meeting with his guru, his future guru, which he didn't know initially, was offensive. And then he rectified that mentality by surrendering at the feet of his guru, saying, which you will hear about. And then through his friend, he's saying, because the guru is lying in ecstasy, and he's stunned in ecstasy, he's swooned in ecstasy, lying on the ground. And for 6 hours, which we'll hear. He was in a trance, it's called Avastha Chitta. Avastha Chitta means your chitta, your consciousness, it just becomes frozen like a hung computer. Everyone can relate to these terms, right? Modern age, interface, all the language now is all full of computer jargon. Oh, I went yesterday, interface with my friend. Oh, really, interface? What do you mean interface? They have these terms that are becoming common vernacular, computer terms. Oh, you have to get linked up, and we have to go on a net, this, that, the other thing. Slang terms from computers. So he's revealing his mind. He said, listen, I want to take initiation. Then what did his friend say? Shuniya mukunda bhara santosha haila bala bala bali bhara shlagite lagila. Hearing his proposal, Mukunda was greatly satisfied. He glorified Gadadhar's proposal by saying, bhalo, bhalo. I think everyone knows what that means. Badiya, 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 bilkul, badiya, badiya. Very good, very good. Prahara duite vidyanidhi mahadir, bhaya paya vasilena haya sustir. After 6 hours of being avastha chitta, absorbed in a trance, basically means a spiritual trance of devotion, the most mahadir, greatly dear, sober, the most grave Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to external consciousness. Bhayachit, it's called Bhayachit, like Bahir, we say Bahir Antar. He came to external consciousness, which means he woke up. Like, oh, what happened? And then he sat down peacefully. Garadhara Panditera Nayanera Jal Antanahi Dharanga Chitila Sakal. Gadadhar Pandit's unlimited tears moistened his entire body. The person who's about to inquire about initiation, Nayanera Jala, Antanahi Dharanga. His Dharanga, his whole body was holding tears. He was so much in a mood of repentance and sorrow and submission, and his heart was so soft that his softened heart transformed his consciousness and actually altered the water of the body. And this is how these sattvic ecstasies are produced. It's an the heart, the emotions of the heart mix with the prana. There's five kinds of prana in the body, basic pranas. Apan, udan, can't remember. There's five different pranas moving in the body. So when the emotions, the mind and heart become filled with intense emotions, those emotions are transmitted to the prana, which is circulating through the subtle channels of the body, pranic channels. And then when that prana is excited, then if it's a particular emotion, the prana will stimulate the water element of the body. 75% of the body is water. Then when the water element is stimulated due to the emotional outburst of the heart and the movement of the prana, then there's crying. And if the air element is stimulated by the prana and the particular emotion, then the hair will stand on end. And if lots of heat is there, then there's perspiration. It's called swed. Romancha, kampa, ashru, sweda, vaivarnya, all these things. So they actually, in the shastras of our Goswamis, they explain, even in a physical way, how these transformations take place due to the mixture of emotions with the bodily elements. That's why they say mind over matter. They have these phrases, mind over matter, mind control. So the jiva in this body is a very complex interface between the jiva and the hankar and the buddhi and the man and the indriya, the senses. And the prana, this life energy, prana is moving through the senses and the mind. And it's influenced by the intelligence and the ego, many things. It's a deep science. You don't really have to think about it. You go to a movie and you're very absorbed in it, and the heroine, the Nayaka, is, you identify with her, you start crying. You don't know how it happens. Oh, my prana mixed with my mana, and my man mixed with... All I know is I cried. This scene touched my heart. It's very heart-rending, and I responded by crying, laughing, perspiring. You have a dream at night. You go to the zoo, and you see a Bengali tiger. And you're a little kid, you're just a little kid. And you look at the tiger, and the tiger looks at you, oh, this looks like a good pakora. And then the tiger goes, ah! And the kid goes, ah, mommy! And jumps 5 feet in the air into his mother's arms, you know, just out of fear. Then when he goes home at night and he sleeps, he's sleeping and he sees his Bengali tiger in his dreams stalking him in the front yard. And he said, help, help! And he starts running in his dreams. And he wakes up and his whole body is covered with perspiration. Whole body is covered with sweat. It happens. So how is this? He's in an unconscious world. He's in the dream world, subliminal experience, but it's transposing or being revealed in the external body, because the mind is connected. Even sleeping, the mind is still connected with the senses, unless you go very deeply in sleep. Then you go deeper than the mind. It's called turiya, which is practically, you know, realizing the atma at that level. That's pretty rare. So now Gadadhar is crying in submission. Dekhiya santosha vidyanidhi mahashaya kole kari tuilena apanat ridai. Seeing this, vidyanidhi mahashaya was most pleased. He embraced Gadadhar and held him to his chest. So you see in these dealings with the Lord and his devotees, whether it's Krishna in Krishna Leela 5,000 years ago with his coward boys and his mother and father and his gopis, there's so much love, an expression of love. In fact, if you analyze, there's a word that's quite common to everyone. It's called Leela. Leela. Ram Leela. Ram Leela grounds. Even they have Ram Leela grounds where they perform Ramayana every year in different cities. The Ram Leela grounds. I think Prabhupada even had a pandal in Delhi at the Ram Leela grounds. It was actually set aside for Ram Leela. And then we have Krishna Leela, Ram Leela. This term is quite familiar. So we translate Leela as pastimes, anecdotes, drama. Leela means drama, means pastimes, activities, sports, enjoyment. But actually Leela is a sandhi. It's a combination of two words. One is lingata. Lingata is a Hindi word, I think, also. Lingata means to embrace. Lingata. And la means lelo. La means to... Literally, The Acharyas explain, and it's quite correct according to the combination of these two, Li and La. Lila means to accept or take the embrace. So when you talk about Krishna Lila, these are the activities or pastimes where he meets with his devotees, his friends, his lovers, his parents, mother and father, his servants, and he accepts their embraces. He accepts the embraces, their loving embrace. And everyone knows, Prema Lingata, loving embrace. So you see very much of this, that the guru, that he doesn't know he's a guru at this point, but he's reciprocating, that this person is crying and he's looking at me with so much submission, so he's embracing him. Because Gadadhar, and he held him to his chest, it's just so much loving dealings in these leelas of the Lord. The very word leela means this, embraces. So that's why we have the personal conception of God and the impersonal. Some people, they don't want to be very close to God. Okay, God is there, but I don't want any relationship with Him. It's impersonal. Nirvishesh. Nirvishesh. And Shunyavan. But in the Vaishnava conception, God is a person, transcendental, supreme person. And we can have a very intimate and loving, dynamic, eternal relationship with that person. This is the proposal and the prospect of Vaishnava Dharma, which is most specifically and beautifully portrayed in the presentation of Gaudiya Vaishnava, which is the most intimate expression of Dharma, because it brings the love of God not to the beyond the Dasyarati level of Hanuman. Hanuman loved God, he loved Ram, but it's in Dasyarati as a servant. And then you have Vibhishana, who had like some friendship. Dasya mixed with some friendship. Ravana's brother was also friendly. And then you come up to Sita Devi. She's a lawful, wedded wife of Ram. But it's restricted there. No one else can be in that position. Ekpatni Brat. Maryada Avatar has taken Ekpatni Brat. So this, the opportunity to have intimate level, conjugal love with Ram is not possible. And there are numerous instances in Garga Samhita and Brahmavivak Puran and so many different Purans where Ram was encountering different female personalities who revealed their heart and mind to them, to him. They were unmarried princesses, etc. Like in Kosala or in Mithila, different places he went, and they all were expressing their minds either through their eyes or through their telepathy that they wanted to be his wife also, and to serve him and submit to him. And he would bless them by saying, yes, when I come as Krishna. When I come as Krishna, I will fulfill your desire. So that's why Krishna is called Akila Rasamrita Murti. Akila Rasamrita Murti. That Murti, that form of Akila Ras, all rasas. He's a Rasaraj. Krishna, these are the terms the Shastras describe about Krishna, not Ram. Ram is Bhagavan, he is God. But there is some limitation. Ram is Godhead presenting himself within particular constraints. And when you go beyond those constraints and go into a more expansive expression of Godhead, then you have to come to the level of Krishna, the Krishna conception. Because he can embrace everyone. His Leela, Krishna Leela, is all-encompassing. He can embrace everyone and satisfy everyone and collect everyone. From all five rasas, Shant, Das, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhura. And Madhura has two features. Lawful wife, Swakya. Swakya, belonging to me. Swakya. And Parakya, belonging to someone else. He has relationship with his wife, and Dwarka. So many 16,000 wives. And Vrindavan, he has relationship with your wife. With your wives. With the wives of the Gopas, called Gopavadu. Gopavadu. The young, newly married wives, not the old ones. The newly, Gopavadu, the newly married wives of the Gopas, the Gwals, the coward boys, who are nothing but his expansions of his own Shakti. Nija Shakti Rupataya Kalabi. Nija Shakti Rupataya Kalabi. This is told him by Lord Brahma, that all these gopis are only expansions of your own Shakti. But at any rate, back here to this Leela. So now, Parama sambrame rahilena gadadhar mukunda kahina tanra manera utar. As Gadadhar stood there in awe and reverence, Mukunda revealed Gadadhar's mind. So Gadadhar was crying, he was feeling most repentive and slightly offensive, and he was now entertaining in his mind and revealing his mind to Mukunda, yes, I should take an initiation from this elevated and exalted Vaishnava. When he wakes up, now he's in trance of ecstasy. Now he's woken up, and when Gadadhar sees him, then he just breaks out crying. All these emotions and feelings all competing with each other. The appreciation, the submission, the offenses, the many emotions swirling together. So the end result is just crying in amazement and astonishment. And this Pundarik, he comes up from his trance and sees this person standing before him crying. Oh, don't cry. Like a mother will gather her child in her arms, her loving embrace, and say, please don't cry, it's all right. Be relieved. So he's gathered him in his arms, his compassionate arms. This Vaishnava is full of compassion. Let everyone be happy. Let the world be joyful. Prabhupada once said, what is the mission of ISKCON? The mission of ISKCON is let the whole world be joyful. My mission is to make the whole world joyful. Kevala Anandakanda. And that's a fact, he's done it. If anyone has entered the world of ISKCON or the world of Prabhupada's heart, then he has come up. If he's submerged himself in the heart of Prabhupada, then he's come up in an ocean of joy. that's what is said. I've heard like that. And sometimes you experience it also. So now he's standing there after he's been embraced. He's standing there with awe and reverence. So he's feeling a little bit hesitant. Okay. So Mukunda then, so he was a little bit tongue-tied. So then Mukunda, he volunteered to speak something on behalf of his friend Gadadhar's, on behalf of him. So then he said to Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Vyavahara Takurala Dekhiya Tamar Purve Kichu Chitta Dosha Janmila Uhan. Doubts arose in the mind of Gadadhar when he saw your behavior and opulence. Ibatare prayaschitta chintila apane mantra diksha karibena tomarai stane. In order to atone for his offense at your feet, Gadadhar has now decided to take initiation from you. Vishnu bhakta virakta shaishave vridarita madhava mishrera kula nandana uchita. This is, of course, Bengali. It's very beautiful language. It's very similar to Hindi, actually. He is a renounced devotee of Vishnu. So now, Mukunda is giving some introduction to Pundarik Vidyanidhi about his potential disciple. First, he says he wants to take initiation from you. So naturally, the guru will have some query or some question in his mind, well, who is he, or what are his bona fides? Son of, S.O., he is a renounced Vaishnava, Virakti, and since childhood, he has shown the experience of a mature person. And he's a highly qualified son born in the family of Madhava Mishra, which just means a Brahmin. He's a pundit. Shishu haite Ishvarera Sange Anuchar Guru Shisha Yogya Pundarika Gadadhar. Gadadhar has been a constant companion of Lord Chaitanya since his childhood. Therefore, I feel that Pundarik and Gadadhar make the perfect guru and disciple. So Gadadhar's friend Mukunda is putting in a good word. He's saying he's really a good guy. He's really, really a good guy, and you should accept him. I mean, I would like to see that Pundarik becomes a guru and he becomes your disciple. That would be my wish, because Mukunda and Pundarik are very close friends. They're from the same village. So this is the introduction with a recommendation. And I've had that experience also. People have come to me on behalf of some brahmacharis, they approach me for diksha. I'm not so inclined. And then they do a little spiritual politics. They meet some of my godbrothers, some of my guru bhais, some of my godbrothers. And then they show up one day, "Oh, Maharaj, I just want to talk to you this, that." I said, "Yeah, what's on your mind?" "You know, there's these two boys from Delhi." I said, "What boys?" "So-and-so, Acha." "And they're really nice boys." And they started telling it. I said, "Oh, how you came, they sent you here?" "Well, they talked to me and I thought I could change your mind or soften your mind a little bit. You know, you should initiate them." I said, "Look, why didn't you initiate them?" "You're so impressed by their behavior and their characteristics, and do the honors." "Why?" Like this. So this is what's happening here. It's quite, now it's getting quite forward. He says, "Apane bujiya chitte eka shubadhine, nija ishta mantra diksha karaha ihane." Please select an auspicious day, shubha, shubadhine, to initiate him in the mantra of your worshipful Lord. Nija ishta mantra. So the Lord of the heart of the Guru is installed in the, that's called, we say, pran pratishta. When a deity is installed in a mandir, it's called pran pratishta, a very elaborate ceremony described in Shastra. Bringing the life or the pran into the deity. So this is what happens in Diksha, that the Guru, it's a pran pratishta, he establishes his ishtadev in the heart of the disciple through the medium of mantra. Because the mantra is of the ishtadev, and the bhava, the Guru, is mixed in the mantra. And bhava means life, life force. Otherwise it's just empty mantra. Like a, let's see, goli with, what do you say, placebo. Placebo means a medicine, looks like a tablet of medicine, but there's only a sugar drop on it. There's no medicine there, no power, it's just a tablet called placebo. Fake medicine. So mantra must have backing, must have, be charged. It's like you buy a battery, you go to get a car, you buy a battery. And then maybe a car battery. Maybe ladies don't know so much about all this. But you buy a car battery, and maybe it's discharged, there's no charge. And they'll say, "Oh, you're," and you try to use, "Oh, and this battery's not working." "Oh, I think it's discharged, there's no charge." And they put on some little machine, little clips, and they pull it in the wall, say, "Oh, come back tomorrow. In 16 hours, we'll charge it." And then you get a charged battery, then it does so many functions, it work, your car works. So the mantra must be charged like a battery. So it's charged by the sharanagati of the Guru, by the vigyan of the Guru, realization of the Guru, the surrender of the Guru, the connection of the Guru, the mantra, the diksha parampara of the Guru. Many, many factors go into the strength of the mantra. Mantra may be the same. So many gurus, so many mantras, but the power and the strength of the mantra, there's many determining factors. Battery looks the same. A charged battery and discharged battery looks exactly the same. Same six little caps and little black thing, little black box. And then when you hook it up, hey, the battery's dead. My car doesn't start, the radio doesn't work, my horn doesn't work. Right? You have the experience. Oh, my battery's dead. Push the car. Doom. So now he's telling him, he's saying, yes, he's a good person, you should initiate him. Now please pick a good day and do it. He's really quite an intimate friend. Mukunda is a very good friend with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So yes, he's a good boy, now initiate. I think Wednesday's a good day to do it. Wednesday. So he's telling him, get out your panchang, get out your calendar, and find the auspicious day. So you see that even 500 years ago, they were considering shubha and ashubha, mangal and amangal. Like we have these vivaha, all these weddings all the time, every day. So I'm assuming they're picking vivaha yagya and vivaha, you know, day for the proper vivaha yagya titi, vivaha yagya titi, and doing their function then. So also for Diksha, there are auspicious months, auspicious days, auspicious planets, lagnas, rasis, everything. So Guru will pick all this because this is all very important, because the mantra devata, everything works together. Bhagavan, the devatas, the Shaktiman, is a very complicated, integrated mechanism. And everything should be favorable. So this is done. I know that and traveling and so many things, we should consult the proper timing if you can find out. So we see, we can learn this from reading this Shastric statement about this Leela. We find, oh, this was a vichar. This was a consideration. Proper timing. Kala, desh, and patra. Place, time, kala, desh, place, and circumstances are patra. The arrangement, the personalities, the persons involved, and the place. For example, you can read, and Mathura Mahatmyam by Rupa Goswami, there's some verses there that are quoted from some Puranas, and it says that if a guru gives mantra diksha to a disciple in Vrindavan, then that disciple is guaranteed of attaining mantra siddhi. So once I mentioned this to one guru, and I said, why don't you, since some of your temples are quite close to Vrindavan, why don't you just bring everyone to Vrindavan to get initiated, to give them this special blessing that was just told in Shastra? And then the guru said, well, I have a policy. If you're in this temple, you get initiated here. If you're in this temple, it's like that. I said, okay, very good. But that's a great benediction. The mantra siddhi, and we're chanting Gopal mantra. Krishna mantra, Gopal mantra, which is from Gopal Tapani Upanishad. And the same mantra was given to Brahma. 18 syllable Gopal mantra, we're chanting Kam Gayatri. And these mantras, what is the siddhi? What is the siddhi of these mantras? What is the perfection of these mantras? Is the prem seva of Radha and Krishna and darshan and revelation of one's sarup, revelation of one's siddha deha, spiritual body, and darshan of Krishna sarup. These are the phal. This is the mantra phal of Gopal mantra, such a powerful mantra. So please select an auspicious day. Now what is the reply? What is the response of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the guru, after hearing, seeing all this and hearing all this? Shunya hasena Pundarika Vidyanidhi amareta maharatna milayila vidhi. Upon hearing all of this from Akunda, Pundarik Vidyanidhi smiled and said, I have obtained a precious jewel by the arrangement of providence. See the prem bhav, guru shishya prem sambandha, the relationship of guru and shishya. You say chela, disciple and guru. So much love and the feelings the disciple has for guru, he's crying, and so much love the guru has for disciple, and not only is disciple honoring guru and having so much sambrama. It said sambrama means gaurava. What do you say? Adara. Adara means respect. Adara. So much adara. Disciple has so much respect and regard for the guru. Gaurava. But you see how much regard and respect the guru has for disciple. From this statement, when Pundarik heard from his friend Mukunda, they were both quite old. Gadadhar Pandit was maybe he was 1 year younger than Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya took diksha from Ishwarpuri when he was 20 years old in Gaya. So maybe Gadadhar is 19 or 20, very young, relatively young. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Mukunda are about 60 years old. They're quite old. And he's saying, oh, you have told me all these wonderful things. He's the son of Madhav Mishra. He's a pundit. He's such a great person. How fortunate I am. I'm a very fortunate person. This person you want me to initiate, this potential shishya, he's like a jewel. He says, Maharatna. Everyone knows what ratna means. Ratna means jewel, gem. He's a great treasure, a great gem. Milayla vidhi. So this vidhi, this means arrangement, or this meeting, and mila means meeting. This meeting, I'm meeting him. This must be the arrangement of God. I'm so fortunate that God is giving me the opportunity to meet such a great person. See the humility of the guru. See the honor of the guru, how much he honors. Not, ah, you're my disciple, you know, shine my shoes, I'll get out of here, what do I care? It's not like that. There's equality. We talk about guru and shishya being on equal foothold. Equal plane, this statement of the guru is putting the disciple up here. Hey, my guru's up, my disciple's up here, I'm like his Prabhu. And Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur, my Param Guru, he used to address his disciples as Prabhu. And he said, and he used to say, and not falsely, but genuinely, he used to say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has sent all of you. All of you masters, he has sent all of you masters. Prabhu means master, Lord, my master. He has sent all of you Prabhus or masters to me, for me to serve. Because if someone's a master, it means you serve them. You're the Das and they're the Prabhu. And he felt like that. And when his disciples would offer obeisances, he would return the obeisances when they bowed down. And he was such an exalted person. He had a few thousand disciples. Sometimes people say 60,000, but if you have ever met any of his senior sannyasis, they say he had 4,000 or something like that. A few thousand. Diksha. He took diksha from him. Well, there was one biography that was written by one of his disciples. He said, "My Guru Maharaj had 60,000 disciples, just like Prakashananda Saraswati." So it was an exaggeration. One disciple wrote a biography of his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta. He said 60,000. I read that biography in English. He said he had 60,000 disciples, and I thought that's quite a lot. So then I inquired from some of the senior sannyasis, what was the actual situation? So it was a few thousand. Of course, his influence was quite extensive. So to see how the guru, how much he feels about... So now, what's the bottom line? Is he going to initiate him or not? He's saying that he's a Maharatna, and I'm very fortunate. Karyamu ihate sandeha kichunai bahujanma bhagye se e mata shishupai. Pundrik said, "I will certainly initiate him. There is no doubt about it. By the good fortune accumulated in many births, one attains such a disciple." And generally, when we study Shastras from the viewpoint of a disciple, we come across verses like this: Brahmanda Brahmadekon, Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Bij. Bhagyavan Jeev says, Brahmanda Brahmadekon. Brahmanda, Brahmate means to wander, Brahmite, wandering all over Brahmandas, from this universe to that universe, all over, up and down the universe is what to speak of planets. Bhagyavan Ajeev, Ajeevatma who is Bhagya, Bhagyavan, possessing good fortune. He possesses good fortune, Jara Sukriti, or Krita Punya Punja, lots of piety, religiousness, religious credits, punya. He will, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, he will get the mercy of Guru and receive the seed of devotion, the bijam. So this is, from the angle of vision, a very fortunate disciple will get Guru, a very fortunate person. Now Pundarika, as a Guru, he's saying, I'm a very fortunate Guru. I'm a very fortunate Guru, because only after, he's saying here, only after I've accumulated punya for many, many births, because I have attained such a great disciple as you. Just see, the appreciation, the outlook. Is there any pride in this outlook? Is there any dumbha or pride? Such humility, such regard. This is something you can cry about. This is real exchange. And Guru, there's so many verses. Krishna's telling Uddhava in 11th canto of Bhagavatam. And 11th canto, he's talking about Guru Tattva, the truth of Guru. And there, Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells Uddhava, who is his devotee, Parishad, Nitya Parishad, eternal associate, Acharya mam vijaniyam navamanyeta karichit. Acharya mam vijaniyam. My dear Uddhava, you should know very clearly, without any doubt, Vijani, Visheshjana, with very special consideration, very special application of knowledge and intelligence, Vijaniya, that the Acharya is me. So Bhagavan is saying, Guru is me. I am the Guru. So Guru is in a very exalted position. Guru is on Sakshat Hari. He's like God. But now this Guru is saying, I'm so fortunate. I have a disciple like you. It's a very touching outlook. So I'll certainly initiate him. There's no doubt about it. And I've accumulated fortune for many births to attain such a disciple. AJ Aise Shukla Pakshera Dwadashi Sarva Shubha Lagna Iti Milibheka Asi. So he's telling all about auspicious time to do it. The most auspicious moment will be found on the Shukla Dwadashi of the waxing moon. Sarva Shubha Lagna. So the Lagna is most completely auspicious. The Lagna. And Shukla Paksha means the time or the group or the area. The bright half of the month. Well, now we're in Shukla Paksha right here in Bombay. In a few days it will be Purnima. Ihate Sankalpa Siddhi Haibe Tomar Shuni Gadadhara Harshe Haila Namaskar. And Guruji says to Gadadhar, your desire will be fulfilled on that day. Hearing this, Gadadhar happily offered him obeisances. Jai Gurudev. So this is a happy ending story. That there was some doubt in Gadadhar's mind. Well, I'm an offender. I offended this personality. Now I'm hoping that he'll free me from my offense. The word that was used in Bengali is prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means atonement, or to become relinquished from one's transgression. So he's approached very humbly with great love in his heart and gratitude, and hoping that Guru would accept his proposal to give him mantra diksha. And Guru has examined him and heard about him and accepted him with great appreciation and speaking very highly and glorifying him. He's speaking this, he's saying this, and Gadadhar is listening to this. He's calling me Maharatna. He's saying he's very fortunate to have me as a disciple. My Guru is speaking like this. And I know what I am. I know I just had a wrong mentality. I had a bad mentality when I first saw him. But see the transparency of my Gurudev's heart. So open, so pure, so clean, so loving, so respectful, so all-encompassing. So now he's going to accept him. Sayyidina Mukunda Sange Haya Vidai Ailena Gadadhar Jata Gorarai. Taking leave of Mukunda, Gadadhar went to see Lord Gauranga. And then so that's basically the end of this story. Then of course there's a meeting later. Then Pundarik meets with the Lord, and we'll read that also, because we're reading all the whole section. So this is the good news, happy ending to the story. And that what started off as looked a little tragic. In the beginning it looked very tragic. That Gadadhar was digging his own grave, so to speak, by offending a great Mahabhagavat, a great personality. But then by the mercy of his good friend Mukunda, he was rescued. So you see how valuable friendship is. Friendship amongst devotees is very prophylactic, protective, and reassuring. Everything depends on relationships. Strength depends on relationships. Support depends on relationships. Guidance depends on relationships. No one is independent. Independence is an illusion. We may think we are independent in the sense that we're individual entities. Each one is an individual soul. And we all have independent, you can say, individual relationships. But independence, actually, we're interdependent. The proper term is not dependence, not independence, but interdependent. We know we cannot live without dependency on air. We depend on air. We depend on water. We depend on food. We depend on so many other living entities which we consume to exist. But of course, we offer them, those living entities, we offer first to Krishna. Oh, living entity, like me, you also exist for the pleasure of God. As I am offering myself to God, and I belong to God, you also belong to God, and you should be offered to God. And God has said, Bhagavan has said, that I can offer you to Him. As a human being, I can offer patram pushpam palam tayam yome bhakti prachati. I can offer fruits and vegetables to God, and water and tulsi. They're all living entities. There's living entities in water. Living entities in fire. So I cannot consume you, because then I will be the enjoyer, I will be the God, and you'll be engaged in my service. But I can take you, because these are acceptable offerings for the human being, and I can offer you to God. That's called bhog offering. Now you've been offered to God, He's accepted. Your life is perfect. The life, Prabhupada once said, if you take an apple from an apple tree and offer it to God, that tree gets liberated. Because his child, his production, his byproduct, his apple, and there's so many jivas there in that apple, and then that jiva in the tree gets liberated. So all living entities, or if you take some lettuce is a living entity, or carrot, gajar, and you take it from the ground, you ripped him out of his house. He's living in the ground, that's his house. You ripped him out of his house. Hey, you're coming with me. Hey, wait a minute, where am I going? You're going into the subject. Wait a minute, you asked my mother's permission? I mean, she loves me very much. "Hey, don't worry. I'm going to promote you. You're stuck in the ground over here, but I'm going to offer you to Krishna." So then you offer the carrot to Krishna, and Krishna liberates him. That jiva and that, there's a jiva there. There's a jiva here. There's a jiva in the dog and the fly and the cat everywhere. So every jiva is meant to be engaged in Krishna's service. It's mind-boggling. Jivas, there's billions of jivas in this world. So when we chant mantra, we have loud kirtan, then all those jivas get liberated. They hear the mantra. Any questions? We have 1 minute, I guess. Anybody else a question? Lochan Krishna Das. Excuse me?
You use one terminology, Vishaya Vaishnava.
Yes, I was... This is mentioned... This I read from here, and this Chaitanya Bhagavad said Vishayi Vaishnava. And the context of what Vrindavan Das Thakur was saying is that Gadadhara Pandit, he initially viewed the external display, the clothing, the accoutrements, and the surroundings and behavior. He initially misjudged, and miscalculated due to his imperfect senses and tendency to illusion and make mistakes. He misjudged the deep character and deep devotional position, and Gadadhara Pandit considered that Pundarik Vidyaniti was a Vishayi Vaishnava, which means a Vaishnava who is attached, he's a Vaishnava. He accepts that actually the goal of my life is to worship Vishnu and to go back to the spiritual world. But I also have, that is the goal of my life, but I also have other goals. Anya Abhilash, other desires. And I want nice clothes, and I want nice food, and I like to chew pan, and I like to have servants fanning me and go to fancy movies. But it's not a bad idea. I would also like to go to the spiritual world and have an eternal spiritual body and serve Lakshmi Narayana or Radha Krishna eternally. But that's not my only desire. So therefore, this is called a Vishayi Vaishnava. He's a Vaishnava, you can't deny that, because he's not an impersonalist. He's accepting that God is a person, that he has Savishesh, so many qualities, transcendental form, transcendental qualities. But he's more interested in sense gratification than he is interested in bhakti. So he'll go along, and then he'll take another birth. And when one comes to the... That's why the whole Vedic paradigm, the whole Vedic civilization is set up in a hierarchy. Everything is hierarchy. Every single aspect of creation is a hierarchy. And when you enter the spiritual world, there's also hierarchy. It's all Vishnu Tattva, but there's hierarchy. Vishnu, Ram, Krishna. Then Krishna and Dwarka, Krishna and Mathura, Krishna and Vrindavan. Then Krishna with the coward boys, and Krishna with his mother. There's all hierarchy, all different levels. Everywhere hierarchy. Everywhere. It's not all one. Like, what everyone, rich people are all the same. No, there's so much differences. So in Vaishnava, in the Vedic paradigm, society was set up, there's celibate life, there's married life, there's retired life, and there's renounced life in English. And if you want to speak in Sanskrit, then you say brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprast, and sannyas. Celibate life means no man-woman dealings. Then grihastha life, then retired life, and renounced life. So to attain moksha, dharam, art, kam, moksha, one has to want have everything on that side. He wants to be completely in the spiritual world. If you have one foot in the material world and one foot in the spiritual world, well, this world's nice, but I want to go there too. Then you'll still be here. Until your two eyes are on the spiritual world, on the nitya seva of Vishnu or Krishna, and your two feet are there, then you have to stay here. But you go up, you gradually go up. So many lifetimes you're a Shudra, and you go up. There's different hierarchies of Shudra. You pass many lifetimes. If you're a pious religious Shudra, you go from a low class Shudra, middle class, to a high class Shudra. Then you go, and then so many gradations. Then you go, if you're a very, very high class and very good and religious, pious Shudra, then you become Vaishya, like a low class, ordinary Vaishya. Then so many births. And then finally you become a Brahmin, which means you're supposed to be absorbed in Brahman. But nowadays in Kali Yuga, see, the Brahmins are absorbed in Vishayi. They're worshippers of Vishnu, but they like fast cars and fast women and good booze and eat non-veg. But they say they're Brahmins. I know, I can show you right in Vrindavan. Eating chicken, drinking. It's Kali Yuga. No one can escape. Confirmed. So, Avishai Vaishnava, we may be in that category ourselves. Because not only is there this term, it's just like they say, Vaishnava Samaj, Bhaktagan, Vaishnava, there's many, many terms that mean the same thing. We can say Prakrita Vaishnava. You'll see this term many times in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prakrita Vaishnava. Then you'll also see Vaishnava Praya. Vaishnava Praya, Prakrita Vaishnava, Vishai Vaishnava. They're all basically the same. These are Vaishnavas. Vaishnava Praya means almost a Vaishnava. Prakrita Vaishnava means a Vaishnava is mixed with Prakriti, material energy. He's too much, you know, he's a Vaishnava, but he has so many other agendas. So gradually, we cut everything else and Anyabhilashi Dashunyam, Jnana Karma. We're free from all coverings of Abhilash, and all coverings of karma, and all coverings of jnana. And then, Anukalyena Krishnanu, Shilanam, Bhakti Uttama. This is Uttam Bhakti, pure bhakti, transparent, clear, pure bhakti, is free from all these contaminations. So that's the whole process of sadhana. We're doing yoga sadhana, as I said, to become purified, to be cleansed. Our mind becomes cleansed, our heart. And we do our different duties, but we gradually withdraw. As we go up and when our children are married, and then now 10% of our life is spiritually oriented, 90% is materially oriented. Then we go, that's the, say, celibate stage. Then you get married, maybe 5% is spiritually oriented, 95% is materially oriented in marriage stage. Then there's retired life. Kids are married, you're just sitting around or retired. Then it becomes okay. Then you start increasing the spirituality and the minimizing the materiality, you know, 20, 30, 40. Then you become renounced life, whereas husband and wife can live at home, but they're totally absorbed in spirituality, and they can get liberated. You can get liberated from any position if you're totally absorbed in spirituality. If you're 100% God conscious, you go to God. If you're 99% God conscious, you come back here. It's like this. There's no secret, it's no something hidden or anything. It's all patent. It's patent, it's clear, it's systematic, it's scientific. And it's open for everyone. Women, children, adults, everyone. So by the Lord's grace, we may meet again tomorrow. Hare Krishna.